Tabernacle Presbyterian Church presents Sunday with Tab. Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, located at 34th and Central in Indianapolis, welcomes you to Sunday with Tab. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled, Why Tab? Partners in the Gospel. We'll also have music from the Sanctuary Choir. So join us now from Tabernacle Presbyterian Church for Sunday with Tab.
Our first scripture lesson this morning is the Ascension of Jesus from the first chapter of Acts, written by the dear and glorious physician Luke. So, when the apostles had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? And he replied, It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. And they said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way that you saw him go into heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second lesson is taken from the first chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans. We'll pick up at the 8th verse. Paul writes, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed throughout the world. For God, whom I serve with my spirit by announcing the gospel of his Son, is my witness that without ceasing, I remember you always in my prayers, asking that God, by God's will, I may somehow at last succeed in coming to you. For I am longing to see you, so that I may share with you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, or rather, so that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as I have among the rest of the Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. Hence my eagerness to proclaim the gospel to you also who are in Rome." Amen. And let us pray. Lord, thank you for the gift of the day, for the privilege of worship. And now as we silence ourselves beneath the teaching of your word, we would pray that the words of my mouth, that the meditations of our hearts, that which we will take from this time and place, might bring honor and glory to you, not to us, but to you, and that through Christ our Lord. Amen. The past several weeks, if you have been worshiping with us, you'll know that we've been exploring answers to the question that I asked 15 years ago, the same question each of us must continue to ask and answer today. Why TAB? We began with the observation I first made about TAB, its ability, our ability, to balance Christ-centered preaching and teaching from the pulpit and social engagement in the community. This is a balance that is not easy to maintain for many churches. We then looked at TAB's deep keel, which has maintained and sustained us through the numerous changes in our 172-year history. The deep keel of our location, of the multi-generational aspect and character of our congregation, of the generosity that we offer to support this mission and ministry, the legacy programs which we have sustained through the years, and our commitment to stay the course through traditions which continue to guide us and sustain us. And so the answer to the why TAB question I'd like to focus on with you today is our commitment to ministry in and to this community, particularly through and alongside our mission partners. Caring for the needs of our neighbors, caring for the needs of others, service beyond ourselves, is part of the DNA of TAB. It's written into our mission statement. It's perhaps the primary reason we hear many of our new members say they were first drawn to TAB. They know of our commitment to this community, to this city, from this location. And that pleases me to see that people recognize this as being an important part of who we are, because this is the way we have been doing ministry for a long, long time. TAB literally has its fingerprints on programs and organizations and ministries throughout the city. This idea of partnering with others in the ministry of the gospel is not unique to us by any means. It's what Paul was writing to the Romans as he was preparing to visit there. But our approach to partnerships and ministry through partnerships is somewhat unique for several different reasons. So to set this up, let me offer an illustration from nature. It has generally been thought that trees in a forest are disconnected loners. They're competing with one another for water or nutrients or sunlight, that there then are winners and losers, that it's kind of a survival of the fittest going on in the forest. But there is substantial scientific evidence that shows that forest trees actually live in community with one another. They are cooperative, interdependent in their relationships that are maintained by communication with one another and collective intelligence. Think in terms of, say, an insect colony. So while our eyes are drawn up to the canopy above, the real action is going on below the ground. Take, for example, the redwoods. They can grow to be 275 feet tall, but remarkably, they have very shallow roots, some going down only 5 or 6 feet. So how do they withstand the weather, the wind, all the changes that allow them to live for hundreds, even thousands of years? Well, it is that the redwoods grow in dense groves, which allow their shallow roots to become intertwined with those of other trees. And over time, they fuse together. They start out as individuals, but over time, they literally become one with one another as they mature and grow. Some are calling this, and catch this, the wood wide web. So this allows these trees, while seemingly to be independent, to share water and nutrients, even communicating with one another on issues of distress, drought, or disease, or insect infestation. So trees are not the competitors we think them to be, but rather they are companions. They're partners together. So what does that have to do with the church? With churches, with TAB specifically. Many view churches as lone rangers, independent contractors. Some even see them as competitors, each working alone, each doing their own thing. And regrettably, too many churches function in this way, but not TAB. We have a long history of partnerships in this community, and an even more unique history of birthing and then launching separate 501c3, not-for-profit organizations to better serve the community. I think of this in terms of shifting from the model of being church building to kingdom building. So let's start there, just talking about two or three of very familiar examples of how we do this. I'm thinking specifically of the Raphael Health Center across the street, the Neighborhood Christian Legal Center over on Meridian, the Oaks Academy. Imagine if we had tried to keep any of those in-house as one of the subcommittees of our session. They would not, they could not ever grow to be the vital, vibrant ministries they are, but rather would find themselves struggling with limited resources out of an annual budget, struggling to find enough committee members who are committed to doing their particular ministries. That's where good ideas go to die. But somewhere in our history, someone came up with the idea of incubating good ministry ideas and then launching them out as separate 501c3s. Independent, yes, but interdependent at the same time. Like parents launching their adult children, we continue to support our not-for-profit children with board members and funding, certainly with our prayers, but we also set them free to make their own decisions, to make their own way as best they see fit. That is brilliant and somewhat unique in the model that TAB has established with our partners. These relationships allow us to maintain mission partnerships with others who are doing kingdom work, gospel work, in a variety of different ways. Several months ago, some of you will recall the mission committee offered an evening of prayer for our mission partners. Oh, it was a wonderful evening. Members of the mission committee shared with us basic information about each of our partners, and then they shared with us the prayer requests that those partners gave us, asking us to pray for them. Under Terry's leadership, the mission committee has worked hard to establish and then re-establish our relationship with our partners so that we can actually know them, to know better what they are doing so that we can know better how best to support them in their ministries, not just send them a check at the end of the month. The diversity of ministries that we support is tremendous. Do you want to assist our neighbors in need? We can help you do that. The Open Door Cafe, Fresh Stop, Circles, the Mose Alexander's Thanksgiving Meal, the Mid-North Food Pantry, and still others. Are your interests more in children and youth? Wonderful, we can help you with that as well. The Oaks Academy, TAB Tutoring, Free Wheel and Bikes, Horizons at St. Richard's, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Perhaps you're more concerned about some of the systemic issues which face our community, like legal services, health care, housing, poverty relief, prison reentry ministries, community development. Yes, we are partners in each of these. Or maybe your heart is to reach the global community. Well, we've got partners. Thailand, Mongolia, Colombia, Romania, Asia, Kenya. In response to Jesus' parting words to his disciples saying, "Go and be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth," we would say, "Go and be my witnesses. Be partners with me in ministry in Indianapolis, in this state, in this region, in this nation, and to the ends of the world." Years ago, I heard a speaker say, "You can measure the impact and influence of your organization by measuring the void that would be left if your organization was not there." I assure you, the void that would be left if TAB was not here would be tremendous. One day, several years ago, I was told that there was a fellow downstairs laying carpeting who wanted to meet me. I went down to introduce myself to him, kind of assuming that he would be asking if there's some way that we could help him with a particular need. But to the contrary, he introduced himself to me, he shook my hand, and he handed me a $20 bill. He said, "Walking in here today, I suddenly remembered that my mom used to bring us here for lunch when I was a kid because we didn't have any food in our house. This church helped keep my family together. It isn't much, but I just want to say thank you." I can't tell you the number of times that story has been repeated in a myriad of different ways as those we've helped through the years have returned to say thank you. In my files, I have an editorial from the Indianapolis Star. It was dated December 5th, 1997. So what makes that, 25 years or so? Written by, I believe, Russ Pulliam. It's titled "The Worth of the Church." And it opens, quote, "Walk by the corner of 34th and Central any hour of the day, and you'll find kids playing basketball, pregnant moms getting checkups, and retired folks tutoring teens. None of it happens due to government policy or taxpayer funds, but through the goodwill and social convictions of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, which has occupied this corner for most of the century." He goes on to cite a study conducted by Partners for Sacred Places in Philadelphia. It was funded by the Lilly Endowment, identifying the enormous worth of churches, religious organizations, to their cities. For example, he says the average congregation supports at least 4 permanent programs that serve people in need, from food pantries to parent support groups, from youth recreation to Habitat for Humanity chapters. 91% of congregations offer their buildings to community outreach programs. Most offer 4. I can't begin to tell you how many we support here at TAB. Among those who benefit from community programs, he writes, those who are not members of the congregation outnumber members by 4 to 1. I began to think about the ratio in our programs. Every day, the Open Door Cafe, 10 or so volunteers, serve between 70 and 90 guests. In our TAB rec, we have 2 full-time staff members, a host of volunteer coaches who serve 1,500 children in our various sports programs. How could we even begin to calculate Raphael Health or the Oaks Academy or the neighborhood Christian legal clinic. I heard once about a headline in a small town newspaper that read, "The tornado that destroyed the Presbyterian Church did no damage to the city." If Tab was hit by a tornado, there would be much damage left to this city. I hope you know I tell these stories not in any way to boast, there would be no benefit to that, but rather to encourage, because these are the ministries we believe that God has given us to do, and so do them we must. Given that, let me be clear, these partnerships, these relationships, these ministries are not self-sustaining. These ministries of outreach and caring and compassion don't run themselves. Each and every one of them will require our support, financial and spiritual. Each of them will require individuals who will do the hands-on part of that ministry and service. A number of years ago, I was visiting with one of our volunteers at the TAB Community Cares program. He was waiting for one of our neighbors to come who was asking assistance, I think with a utility bill or some other need she had. I thanked him for what he was doing and then said, "I sure hope you enjoy it." And as I walked away, he looked me in the eye and said, "No, I really don't. But I know it's an important ministry. And I know that God has called me to do it and given me this opportunity." It was not at all the answer I was expecting, but it was honest and it was true. Some of the ministries we're called to do in Jesus' name are simply that, ministries we are called to do in Jesus' name. And TAB folks have been doing these kinds of ministries for a long, long time. I'll close with this story. I have a friend who is serving as the pastor of a Presbyterian church, not unlike TAB, that was 100 years old, the building. They decided to honor all of the members of the various building committees who had served and cared for their church through the years. A wonderful idea. But 1 week before the celebration, one man, Howard Beckworth, a man who had served on nearly every one of those facilities committees, died. Talking with his son just before the funeral service, my friend said, "Oh, we really wanted to honor your dad, not just this building." And this fellow, who happened to be a geneticist, responded, "You know, people go to the Grand Canyon and say, 'Look how old these rocks are,' without realizing their own genes are many times older. The history of this old church is not in the stones. It's in the DNA." Friends, TAB's commitment to mission and ministry in this place and around the globe, in partnership with our partners, is not in these stones. It is in our DNA. And may it ever be so. So we say thanks be to God for the privilege of serving in this ministry, in this time, in this place, with these partners, to the honor and glory of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And let us pray. Lord, we do thank you that you have chosen even the likes of us to be partners in sharing your gospel message, to do it with our mouths, to do it with our hands, our feet, our gifts, our labors, our prayers. We would pray, O Lord, this day, that we might sense a renewed call, not just of gratitude for what has gone in the past, or even gratitude for what happens in the present, but a renewed call to each of us to participate in ways we can in the work of your gospel. To your honor and glory, we pray it. Lord, hear our prayer as we offer it in Jesus' name.
You're listening to Sunday with Tab, a production of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis. We hope you have found inspiration and comfort in today's program. There are many ways to enjoy today's message again. Subscribe to the TAB podcast on your favorite podcast app, or go to tabpres.org, tap on the graphic marked Sermons, and select the sermon you wish to hear. While there, you can also view the entire worship service. We invite you to join us for worship this morning at Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, We're located at the corner of 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis. At 8 a.m., we have a communion service in the chapel. And at 10 o'clock, a beautiful worship service in the sanctuary. The 10 o'clock service is also live streamed on our YouTube channel, Tab Indy. For all information on the services and streaming, go to tabpres.org. That's tabpres.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next week at the same time for Sunday with Tab.
Why is there church?
Pastor John Gable of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis.
The word church conjures up many images, but at Tab we believe the church is called to demonstrate the values and practices of the kingdom of God. At Tab we envision a place where people grow strong in faith as they are equipped to serve others, where deep and loving relationships are created, where people work together to strengthen the community, advocate for justice, and promote God's peace and shalom. Oh, we're not there yet. But that is what we desire because we believe that's what God desires for the church, our community, and the world. Come see for yourself or find out more at tabpres.org.
Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis, invites you to worship Sunday morning at 8 or 10 a.m. If you can't make it in person, tune in to Sunday with Tab, Sunday mornings at 6:30 on WIBC, or find us online at tabpres.org.